I love the sound of breaking glass. J'espère que vous êtes bien à notre écoute. Notre lunchtime en anglais continue avec la chronique Breaking Glass de Dennis Bro. I need the noises of
destruction. This is Dennis Bro of Art District Radio's Breaking Glass. Coming in December to Art District TV is my show TV on TV, show all about contemporary serial television, with segments on TV criticism, on making serial TV, and on commenting on trends in television. The show is for fans of serial TV, makers of serial TV, and scholars interested in the development of the medium. The pilot episode features, in our Critics' Corner, The New Incest and The 1%, Keeping It in the Family and Game of Thrones and Taboo. In our second segment, Making TV, an interview with the executive producer of Alias Grace, a Margaret Atwood follow-up to the Emmy-winning Handmaid's Tale. And in our concluding segment, The Long View, a look at serial TV binging and addiction. Here is a preview of the premiere episode. This is Bro on the Global Television Beat and my Critics' Corner. And the subject today is sexual incest, keeping it in the upper class family in Game of Thrones and Taboo. It's wildly and devilishly seductive, glamorous, and the ultimate expression of unbridled passion. It functions as a key plot device driving the story and shows purporting to give a glimpse into how the wealthiest live or lived. It is the new incest. Brothers and sisters who break social bounds and seem entitled to because of their elevated position. Because of its new prominence in the most prestigious serial series at the moment, Game of Thrones, and its appearance in what amounts to the best series of 2017, Taboo, a year in which there was no GOT, the implications of this plot device are worth exploring. It's crucial to note the absolute centrality of sibling love to Game of Thrones. No spoilers here, but the entire saga of the breakup of the Stark family, whose wanderings in the Westeros wilderness make up the core of the series, is occasioned by the father Ned and the son Bran discovering the incest of the Queen Cersei and her brother Jaime Lannister. It's the precipitating incident for the entire action of the plot. In addition, at the end of season 7, another incident of incest occurs, this time unpremeditated, but casting a shadow over what has been presented as a meeting of characters whose purity is unquestioned. In the BBC series Taboo, the lead character played by Tom Hardy returns to 1830s England as a kind of more noirish Count of Monte Cristo with a plan for revenge on the East India Bay Company. He's a sort of Prince of Darkness, devilish outsider, and part of his nonconformity is his absolute unfettered desire for his stepsister, the only person he loves, with that desire seen in the show, not as forbidden, as the title might suggest, but as sanctioned because of the pure nature of the character's lust. He tells her in the opening that he will have her, though this pledge eventually drives her insane. Jaime and Cersei's forbidden lovemaking on Game of Thrones is among the sexiest softcore scenes of the series. That is granted a patina of seductiveness, enhanced and made more titillating by its forbidden quality. In both series, incestuous love, among the very rich, rather than being frowned upon, is presented as fetish object of fascination. Two crucial points to make about the new incest. First, the seductive quality is possible because it seems to be taking place between equals, that is, it's brother and sister love. The more destructive, yet more common forms of incest, father, daughter, mother, son, are not discussed, since there the harm is more obvious. In terms of media presentation, for a long time the subject itself was taboo, though of course we know it has been a factor in each strata of society, with Freud focusing prominently on the subject in upper middle class Vienna, and what used to be called family violence, but is now being presented as sexy, groundbreaking escapade. The topic was previously most often approached obliquely and is the subject of David Lynch's most spectacular work. In Blue Velvet, there is a scene where Jeffrey, hiding in the closet, observes his surrogate parents, Dorothy and Frank, in an abusive, violent interchange that harkens back to Freud's primal scene, where the child first knows the parents make love, and which is replayed in Game of Thrones with Bran Stark's discovery of Cersei and Jaime. Jeffrey then sleeps with Dorothy, which results in an eruption of violence. Lynch's most explicit statement about the destruction caused by incest is, of course, the first version of Twin Peaks, where the killing of the teenage prom queen Laura Palmer, the focus of the mystery of the series, is revealed to be the result of an incestuous coupling. Lynch, though, in presenting incest, is critical of the destructive violence, psychic and physical, let loose by this uneven power relationship exercised by adults over still unsuspecting children. In G.O.T. and Taboo, the act itself is seen as pure meeting of equals, though this is seldom the case. The second point may be more crucial. The incest presented on the two shows is lodged in the upper classes, the, as we would say today, 0.1%. In Game of Thrones, it takes place among the royals, the elite of the elite, which the series focuses on with only glancing interest in the common people, and in Taboo, between the inheritors of the owner of a shipping company with a baronial mansion. Taboo, though, does not just display upper-class privilege, it is also sharply critical of then-dominant British capitalism, with its villain being the East India Bay Company, presented as a powerful rival to the state. Incest among the lower classes is, of course, always frowned upon, and often the subject of jokes about inbreeding, seen as the background for a kind of primitiveness and backwardness that is part of the tissue of lower-class representation. On television, this ranges from the Dukes of Hazzard to a more knowing comment on the misery of poverty in Justified. GOT emphasizes not only the offhanded sexy nature of Jamie and Cersei's coupling, his famous line in dispensing Bran, "the things I do for love," but also the melding of a new kind of power couple that, by comparison, make Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie seem like welfare recipients. What is emphasized is not the secrecy of the couple, but their lust for power. Jamie tells Cersei, in language I've cleaned up, "curse prophecy, curse fate, curse everyone but us. Everything they've taken from us, we're going to take back and more." And what is equally emphasized is the exclusiveness of the couple and their position above everyone else. As Cersei later replies to Jaime, "we've always been together, we'll always be together, we're the only two people in the world." What this last sentiment suggests is that the new incest in GOT's allegorical past is an expression in the present of the upper strata of the upper class, which, since they are so much richer than everyone else, and since they are increasingly fewer and fewer of them, their mating choices are now limited, and they are almost forced to keep it within the family. It's a sign of their increasing isolation and withdrawal from the life of the planet, as sociologist Serge Pogman reports in a recent study of the rich in Rio de Janeiro, Delhi, and Paris. The upper strata lock themselves in what are called golden ghettos, disdain taking public transportation, and in fact no longer frequent public spaces, preferring to refuge themselves in their highly securitized residences, and send their children only to private establishments, where they will never encounter those outside their class. Recently, the Paradise Papers revealed that, for example, the family of the richest man in France, Bernard Arnault, which owns a luxury umbrella company, LVH, which includes Dior, Marc Jacobs, and Louis Vuitton, and has a net worth of $60 billion, shelters itself at a secret complex outside of London with covered swimming pools, private gym, and separate quarters for guests. The Paradise Papers reveal corporations and their wealthy owners concealing wealth either illegally or operating on the edge of legality, another analogy to incest. Le Monde economist Gabriel Zuckerman, in studying the revelations of these leaked documents, found that $600 billion is transferred offshore each year by multinationals, with Europe losing one-fifth of its tax base, 60 billion euros, in hidden funds, and with France alone losing 11 billion. The secrecy, Zuckerman declares, is the principal motor heightening global inequality, with 10% of global wealth now hidden in offshore accounts. Since it is so secret, the heightening disparity of income, which has been so fretted over in recent years, is much greater than anyone had imagined. That is, the very rich are getting much richer and are keen to keep their wealth secret, not only hiding it from nation states, but also bearing in mind that to flaunt it in public is to encourage a reckoning. Further evidence of the incestuous nature of these relations can be seen in the banks narrowing their client lists, as HSBC's Swiss Bank, which carried 30,000 clients with a combined net worth of $3.9 million in pre-crash 2007, by 2014 carried only 10,000 clients, that is two-thirds less, but with almost double the net worth of $6.6 million. 75% of assets stowed in foreign countries are undeclared, which deprive governments around the world of taxes needed to improve the shared wealth of the nation. And this crisis is particularly acute in developing countries where the need is greatest. The Lannisters, and indeed their contemporary equivalents, are, in their interior enclaves, oblivious to the fact that their wealth has accrued at the expense of those most in need. The solution, according to Zuckerman, harkens back to the incest question, and that is public accounting. Dragging Cersei and Jaime's dirty little secrets out into the light and having them face the reckoning of their subject as today's wealthiest corporations and leaders, sheltered in incestuous enclaves, must face the reckoning of those they have ruled over so unfairly in these post-2007 times, which, with the wealthiest hidden in their mansions, recall Cersei and Jaime, sequestered in their extravagant love nest at King's Landing. This is Bro on the Global Television Beat. Oh, change of mind,
sound of breaking glass. Dennis Bro is the author of Film Noir, American Workers and Postwar Hollywood, Class Crime and International Film Noir, and Maverick or How the West Was Lost. His current book, to be published in 2018, is Hyper-Industrialism and Television Seriality, The End of Leisure and the Birth of the Binge. C'était Breaking Glass de Dennis Bro sur Art District. Très bonne suite de nos programmes, jazzistiques et artistiques, à notre écoute.